Unclogging the Lending Pipe.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Banks haven't been lending a whole lot of money in this economic fallout. Some have been nervous to take the risk. Others have worried about bad loans on their balance sheet. Citigroup, which got $45 billion in federal bailout money, will today announce a lending thaw of sorts. It says it wants to spend billions to open up credit for residential mortgages, securities, business, and even student loans. President Barack Obama's economic stimulus package is before the United States Senate, where the cost has ballooned a bit since its passage in the House. There's one thing other countries aren't so thrilled about in that package, though, the so-called Buy America clause. And the European Union is chiming in with some steely resolve. From London, here's Stephen Beard.
The $800 billion stimulus package does not involve vast quantities of steel. One estimate suggests it could be as little as $2 billion worth. But European and other foreign steelmakers are up in arms over the Buy American clause. They argue that being excluded from the stimulus projects will be the start of something worse. Roger Manser of Steel Business Briefing.
If the Buy America policy goes through, foreign steel producers fear being excluded from all sorts of other projects in the United States.
In normal times, the U.S. imports more than 30 million tons of steel a year. Foreign steelmakers are terrified of losing that business, and they argue the U.S. taxpayers will suffer from the Buy American clause. Foreign steel is generally 10 to 15% cheaper than the American-made variety. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
European stocks are flat and mixed. Paris, down. London and Frankfurt, up, each by a fraction of a percent at this hour. Stocks were mixed in Asia, but Hong Kong and Japanese markets closed down. The Dow closed below 8,000 yesterday, off just under a percent. The Nasdaq gained more than a percent, and S&P stocks were mostly flat. Earnings reports this morning. GMAC says it made more than $7 billion in the last quarter, but mainly from a one-time debt swap. You'll remember the Treasury Department agreed to take a large stake in the General Motors financing arm, and GM also agreed to lend it $1 billion. UPS, the world's largest shipping carrier, had a fourth quarter profit of $254 million, but the company says sales were down, and the company also warns of a very difficult 2009. And drug maker Merck says it swung to a profit in the fourth quarter, more than $1.5 billion, slightly better than analysts had predicted. There's been some drama in Hollywood. Go figure. The Screen Actors Guild has been embroiled in contract talks with producers for months. Will they strike? Won't they strike? And now there's a casting change. Here's Rico Galliano.
The SAG contract expired on June 30th. What's been the sticking point since then?
In a word, or in two words, the sticking point was Doug Allen.
That's Cynthia Littleton, deputy editor of Variety. She says SAG negotiator Doug Allen and some members wanted to change how actors are paid for appearing in shows made for the internet. Allen was willing to strike over the issue, but in this economy, many SAG members weren't. With Allen gone, Littleton says, breakthroughs are predicted.
The new SAG team comes in having made a human sacrifice in Doug Allen. You expect that the studios will probably come in and give maybe a half an inch.
Some likely studio concessions. Littleton says actors could get more say about product placements in TV and movies. And producers may finally agree to cough up money actors weren't paid last winter when Hollywood shut down after writers went on strike. In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing people-ready enterprise solutions, software based on how people really work, and by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting Women Heart and its efforts to address the number one killer of women in the United States, heart disease, MedtronicFoundation.org.
President Obama is expected to nominate his top technology advisor to chair the Federal Communications Commission. And if that happens, the FCC could lead the nation into a new technological era. Ronnie Radbill reports.
Julius Genachowski is one of the key architects of the president's highly successful internet campaign. He helped draft many of Mr. Obama's telecommunications policies and served as chief counsel to FCC Chairman Reed Hunt during the Clinton era. With Genachowski at the helm of the FCC, improving high-speed internet access is expected to be a top priority. That sits well with Ben Scott, policy director of the public interest group Free Press. He says international surveys show the U.S. is plummeting in rankings when it comes to providing fast, low-cost access to the web.
Every year that goes by that our global competitors have better broadband internet infrastructure than the United States, we lose jobs, we lose economic growth to those countries.
Genachowski supports increasing and expanding broadband service, especially to rural and low-income areas. Unlike former FCC Republican Chairman Kevin Martin, Genachowski wants net neutrality. That means opening up cable, digital phone, and fiber optic lines to competition. Richard Wiley, a former Republican chairman of the FCC and managing partner of Wiley Ryan Law Firm, questions how much Genachowski can get done.
Hopefully, because he's a smart guy, I think he will realize that putting a lot of new heavy regulation in place might not be the right thing to do when these industries are hurting. I think of the broadcast industry in particular.
Unlike his predecessor, Genachowski opposes large media companies buying up TV and radio stations across the country. He instead would encourage diversity in broadcast media ownership. The former chair focused a lot of his attention on cable regulations, such as bundling and pricing. But analysts don't expect Genachowski to be as aggressive with the cable industry. Instead, Rebecca Arbogast, an analyst with investment firm Stifel Nicolaus, says the FCC will focus more on new media, like Google and Yahoo.
The set of voices that are there, it's no longer just Verizon versus Comcast versus a competitive local carrier.
Whatever regulatory action the FCC does take will depend largely on the state of the economy. With the country in a recession, analysts say there's a limit to just how much can be accomplished. In Washington, I'm Ronnie Radbill for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.